For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, everybody, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Number 38 and Bet Online. I am your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network, and I am very excited to be chatting about the Denver Nuggets tonight. Very excited to bring you some good content and bring you some free agency and draft content. It is draft week. The NBA draft is on Wednesday nights. They're doing a different thing this year where they divide it into 2 days. I don't know if that'll stick around or not. It probably will, if we're being honest. They want to make some more money on the event, but we will be talking about the draft. We'll be talking about free agency. We'll be talking about trades over the course of this week, and it's going to be a pivotal time for your Denver Nuggets. Really quickly, this podcast, as you know, it's brought to you by our good folks over at BetOnline, who are your number one source for your sports betting needs this season, from baseball to golf to soccer, right up to all the top fights in MMA and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to their online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with 150 different kinds of slot games. Head over to their website today. Use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here. Okay, let's get into it. Very excited to be chatting about stuff today. We'll be going over KCP in the first segment. He's the big pivot point for all of this discussion for the Nuggets, as I've laid out in a variety of different podcasts before. Then we'll be talking about different names that Denver could acquire if KCP leaves. And then in the third segment, we'll be talking about names to acquire even if KCP stays. Should be a good conversation. If you have questions, if you have a player that you'd like me to discuss, drop it in the comments below or comment in the video below if you're not able to catch this live. And I will answer some questions on the next podcast. Okay, let's talk KCP. Who is... This is going to be tough for people to think about. There is a very strong possibility that KCP leaves in free agency. I can tell you that from an understanding of the information that is going out there, an understanding of different things that are being bandied about by the Nuggets and other teams, and also in terms of understanding where the money is coming from. Over the weekend, I believe, or maybe it was Friday, Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports reported that KCP was probably going to opt out. He and the Nuggets have been talking. And there was some discussion about the Orlando Magic, the Chicago Bulls, and the Philadelphia 76ers as different names being tied to KCP. Different teams being tied to KCP. Now, that is obviously contingent upon whether the Nuggets are willing to give KCP the money that he deserves, whether they can give him the money that he thinks that he has earned over the course of the last 2 years, and whether he's expecting to be a starting quality shooting guard for the next couple of years. And the going rate for that kind of player is now about $18 to $20 million a year. Other teams will pay more in order to try to get him away from a team like the Nuggets. And there are teams that have cap space, namely the Magic and the Philadelphia 76ers, that are interested in trying to lure him away from the Nuggets to add to their own team while also making a contending team worse. obviously KCP's fit is very important for what the Nuggets have done over the course of these past couple years. They don't win a championship without him. And so it shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody that he is a sought-after name in free agency, especially when some of the top-tier names that are out there, guys like Paul George, DeMar DeRozan, they haven't won anything. It's not even a guarantee that those guys are better fits for a championship team than a guy like KCP, where there's already proof in practice. Sure, those guys might be better players, and there are better players out there than KCP, but there are very few tried and true proven championship contributors. And so that's why KCP gets so much attention. Now, Denver can bring him back. They can choose to pay as much as they want to in order to bring him back. But there are other teams that are going to try to outbid Denver. The Nuggets are currently trying to come up with a contract extension that they can give out to KCP. And they're probably not going to come to an agreement, because that number that they'd be agreeing to would mean that KCP has to opt into a $15.4 million player option, and then you get some raises beyond that. That's not really feasible for him when he's getting numbers that are north of $20 million annually in terms of offers. I think that Denver's not going to get much of a hometown discount. There's a certain number that they can meet that they will try to. But I also know that KCP likes it here. He has enjoyed it here. He didn't choose to play in Denver, though. And players get very interesting when it comes to free agency, where there are certain choices that they want to make. If you remember, Jeremy Grant was a player that the Nuggets traded for, that they thought, oh, they'll just re-sign him. And then his priorities kind of changed. He had some stuff that he wanted to accomplish in Detroit, and then got traded to Portland and signed a big contract there, and he's happy. Clearly, that was a decision that he was fine with making. This is not entirely the same thing, because KCP's already proven he isn't in the prime of his career anymore, but this is his last major option to go get a payday. And he's been a player who's been on relatively, I'll say, effective contracts. Contracts that don't necessarily state his entire effectiveness for the majority of his career. Now, there have been times where he's been paid more. There have been times where he's been paid much less than what he should be paid. So I'm not surprised that he's going to try to capitalize here. And it does sound like he's going to opt out. The Nuggets are not going to really be able to come to a contract extension that meets his needs unless they're going to go out several years into the future. And I'm not sure that they want to do that either, because of the second contract or the second tax apron. That's going to be a thing that will affect a lot of Denver's decision making. And as Josh Karnicke said at last month's exit presser, the new CBA was put into place after they had already built their team. And there are certain ramifications that are going to happen that are going to be very difficult to manage. So I don't think KCP is going to be back in Denver. That's my prediction. And I know not a lot of people want to hear that, but I don't think he's going to come back. And to be honest, I don't think he's worth over $20 million a year. I don't. Especially going forward, there are players that will be extremely helpful, and he's a guy that doesn't need the ball in his hands in order to be an impactful player, which is a very, very, very important skill set for a team that has Nikola Jokic, who, he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. He touches the ball more than anybody in the NBA. And then playing next to a guy like Jamal Murray, you've never heard KCP complain about defensive assignments, not getting enough touches, anything like that. So there is a value to that. Let me be clear. But there also are certain things that the Nuggets need. They fell short this last year. The formula that they put together this last year did not work. And it was a more defensive team around very few offensive creators. four of them to be exact. Jokic, Murray, Porter, and Reggie Jackson. Now, maybe the plan works if you have better creators. Maybe if Murray plays better or Porter plays better or Reggie plays better in the second round, then we're not having this conversation. But the plan didn't work, and I think the Nuggets need a better contingency than they had in order to try to solve that. And the easiest way, bar none, the easiest way for them to find a tenable solution to that is to let KCP walk in free agency. The reason is because of the aggregation rules about the second tax apron. Denver cannot trade multiple contracts if they keep KCP. The second tax apron actually limits your ability. Like the max that Denver could trade from a money standpoint, a salary standpoint, is Zeke Nnaji's $8.89 million contract in 24-25. They can combine contracts if they're below the second tax apron, but they can't do it if they're already in it. So that's a really big pivot point. And Denver's got some money. Reggie Jackson just opted into his player option today. That's a big deal for Denver in terms of matching salary. They are not going to be able to build a good trade package unless KCP opts out. So I think that he's going to opt out, and he probably is going to sign somewhere else. And Denver's going to have to find a way to pivot. And so in my article earlier today, I wrote about 25 different names that the Nuggets could target in free agency and in trades. The entire basis of that article was built off of wondering whether KCP would be back or not. If he does come back, then skip to the third segment of this podcast where I talk about minimum contract signings, because that's the only type of player that the Nuggets can really add. If he doesn't come back, Denver's going to have to get really creative. They're going to have to get some creativity with trades, with finding the right player to accept their taxpayer mid-level exception, which they'll get access to if they're below the second apron. And that will be really the only way that they can make it work. But that is better and perhaps smarter long-term than paying a large salary to your fifth best player, especially somebody who's going to be in his age 32, 33, 34 season while Jokic is aging. It may not be the right course of action. The right course of action might be pay KCP whatever he wants, and then you just make it work with the players that you have beyond that. But I've made this argument before, and I think the Nuggets are going to have to live with this as a possibility now, that KCP could leave, and they're going to have to get creative. And that's tough to swallow for most people. A lot of people want to keep the core together. But when Bruce Brown left, and then the CBA was signed, this was just a ticking time bomb waiting to go off. Where when you have Jokic and Murray and Porter and Gordon all making the money that they do, it is very difficult to build an entire rotation, an entire roster, and the Nuggets have to get every move correct. They did not get the Reggie Jackson move correct. They did not get the Zeke Nnaji move correct. They traded for three separate rookies in this last year's draft, and none of them played in the playoffs. Whether they will going forward or not remains to be seen, but in order for the Nuggets to put forth the plan that they had, where they just have the best starting lineup that they can, they needed some of those bench guys to hit more than they did. And they didn't. And they needed their starting lineup to be the best possible. And it wasn't. So, Nuggets fans might be in for a shock in free agency on Sunday. That's when the discussion opens up. I'm sure that KCP is going to decline his option in the next few days, making it official, but he will have suitors, and the Nuggets will have competitors, and I don't know if they can match the dollar number that he can reasonably get. So we will see what happens. I could be wrong. Frankly, I kind of hope that I am, because I don't like being the Debbie Downer here, but I feel the need to prep Nuggets fans for what I expect the worst case scenario to be, and that probably will happen. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some other players that they can add trying to replace KCP. We will be right back. But first, I have to tell you about number 38, the affiliate host of Denver Stiffs and Mile High Sports Watch Parties. Very awesome venue. Really excited to be there. Been there for pregame podcasts, postgame podcasts before, and also just to hang out and have a good time. They've got a very friendly staff, very friendly ownership, really awesome guys, and just very, very impressed with what they've got going on there. So if you're looking to have a good time, head on over to number 38 in the Rhino area. Go get some drinks, go get some beers on tap, and go get some brunch. Lots of good brunch selections there. We will be right back on Pickaxe and Roll.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, we're back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Would really appreciate it for sure. Earlier I saw, okay, from True Teller, he asks, so how Boston is okay going into the second tax apron? Well, they've got six players, and one of those players that they have is Al Horford, who is a better sixth man than what the Nuggets have right now, and he's making $10 million. Some of their guys in Derek White and briefly Jason Tatum before he actually makes a whole bunch beyond that, they're going to get very, very pricey really, really quickly. And also the back end of their roster looks a lot like Denver's, where they're piecing together a lot of different things. I've gone over Boston before and how they built their team, what it looks like in comparison to Denver, and they would not have been able to build their roster if they had done the trades that they did this upcoming season. They got very lucky, or they just planned really well. Okay, let's go over some names. Let's go over some players that I think Denver could add in place of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Let's say he takes a trade option, or not a trade, like a different offer, a free agency offer from the Orlando Magic, have been seen as the most dangerous team. Let's say he takes a big contract from them. Here are five players that Denver would have to aggregate salaries in order to trade for that I think could replace KCP in some way. Number one is Bogdan Bogdanovic. If you followed me on Twitter, X, then you would have seen some of the posts that I had yesterday on trying to add Bogdanovic. He makes $17.2 million. Denver would need to add three players: Zeke Nnaji, Reggie Jackson, and one of Jalen Pickett or Hunter Tyson in order to get to the needed salary in order to trade for somebody like him. I don't even know if it's a viable deal, because I don't know who the Atlanta Hawks are going to draft. They already have Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, DeAndre Hunter, Clint Capella still, although it looks like they're going to trade Capella. It seems like they are going to draft I need to learn how to pronounce his name, Zachary Risacher, who's French. He's a forward, a big forward, but he's going to need some shots, and I wonder if he becomes one of their focal points off of their bench. Would the Atlanta Hawks be interested in doing a deal that gets them a future asset from Denver, let's say their 2031 first round pick, is 7 years in the future. But you trade somebody that's contributing now, you're worse in the short term, but you get more opportunities for your number one overall pick. And Denver gets a wing who can play about the same number of minutes. Now, Bogdanović doesn't need the start, and I actually don't think that he should. I think he should continue playing a six-man role, and then he's always a playmaker that Denver can trust on their bench. That would be pretty helpful. Be pretty helpful for Denver to have a guy like that. You start somebody like Christian Brown instead, play somebody like Bogdan Bogdanović in clutch time, and I think that that would really help Denver. I think that there's some opportunity there. Here's a Nuggets media kind of targets Bogdan and Unity, but I wonder if there's anything real to it. Like, it's all pure speculation. It is. But like, I don't know if Calvin's that interested in somebody like Bogdan Bogdanović. It is my job, though, to sort of predict and forecast and try to come up with different names that Denver could actually try to add. Because, and the reason why I do this is because I do not think that, let's say KCP walks and Denver just brings back their team. Let's say they draft his replacement in the draft. Or let's say they don't even do that. Let's say they draft a backup center in the draft. They keep Reggie Jackson around. They keep Zeke Nnaji around. They just elevate Christian Brown to the starting lineup. They elevate Julian Strother and Peyton Watson in their roles. Yada, yada. Is that good enough? Is that a good enough team? I don't think so. Denver lost already. I don't see any reason why letting KCP go and then just adding organically with the players that you already have is a good idea. I think it's actually a horrible idea because I think that Denver's roster was already not good enough to win the title, realistically. And I think that they need to get better. And the way to get better is to add players. It's to add talent. It's not just to let it go. So I'm going to try to come up with some names. Names like Bogdan Bogdanović, who isn't necessarily, like, it's my job to forecast it. He's 31, 32. He doesn't fit into Atlanta's plan for their long-term, like, for their long-term salary. So might not be the worst idea to try to make a deal. Same thing with Jordan Clarkson, who is rumored to be on the move, somebody that the Utah Jazz might decide to trade. Very similar to Bogdanović. He would definitely come off the bench in this case. He'd be Denver's sixth man, their scorer. Basically Bones Highland, but good. I could see that working, but he's not necessarily a playoff player. He'd be more of a regular season player. And Denver would have to come up with solutions in the playoffs. Might not be great. Kevin Huerter, same thing. He is rumored to be on the move as well, or at least somebody that the Sacramento Kings are dangling. I wrote today in my column that I think that Huerter is a good candidate to be traded, but also a pretty solid player who might just need a change of scenery. He is a solid shooter, like a really, 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 really solid shooter. Not great in other categories, like not a great defender, but he's also 6'7" and can make up for some of his deficiencies with just being big. But you would need somebody who's a more defensive-minded option in the playoffs as well. Similar to Clarkson, similar to Bogdanović. One guy who you would not need to cover for defensively is Dorian Finney-Smith. He's on the Brooklyn Nets right now, making about $13.5 million, and would make sense in an ideal world where Denver could throw a couple second-round picks, Reggie Jackson's contract, Zeke Nnaji's contract, a player who is, I think, like 9 to 10 years younger than Dorian Finney-Smith. And then if you're Denver, you get a short-term option who could replace Jeff Green, who the Nuggets, like, they kind of did, but not really. Like, they went smaller. They went with more a more wing style. Denver lost something when they lost Jeff Green, where they had a switchable big body who could capably guard centers in a playoff setting. Denver could have used a guy like that against the T-Wolves. Not going to lie. They did not play Peyton Watson. They played Justin Holiday at the power forward position. You could actually go get a power forward in Finney-Smith if you believe that he would play. And I think he would. And then Kelly Olynyk is another one. I don't really think that he's available from Toronto, but let's say they decide, hey, we've got Jakob Poeltl already. We could draft our long-term center of the future. Let's trade the 30-plus-year-old center that we just acquired in the trade market and use him to add more assets to the team going forward. Or a young player like a Julian Strother. I think that Denver could do a deal like that, and it wouldn't help their starting shooting guard problem, but it would certainly help their bench unit when Jokic doesn't play. And Jokic can't play 48 minutes. We've learned that. Like, especially during the regular season, you want somebody who could actually help out the rest of the team. And I think that there's a value to that, even if it's not as valuable as finding the perfect starting five. But that's okay. This might be an option. It might not. Toronto might not be interested. The other thing that Denver gets if they let go of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope or Pope walks and they don't have a say about it, so they get access to their taxpayer mid-level exception. It is the same contract that they used to sign Reggie Jackson this past offseason. They gave it to somebody on their own roster. It ended up being the right decision, although it was pretty criticized heavily during the moment. It was good for getting Denver through the regular season, but not necessarily helping them in the playoffs because Reggie played under 10 minutes per game. And I don't expect that number to go up in this next playoff run. So you get another opportunity to sign somebody like that, somebody like Bruce Brown, who they had previously signed with the taxpayer MLE before. How about DeAnthony Melton? How about Chris Dunn? A couple of guards that could really help you out in different ways. Dunn is a more playmaking point guard kind of defensive player. Melton's a more 3-and-D traditional defensive player. Each of them are around the same size. I like Melton personally. I think that he would be a good option. Hypothetically, KCP walks. I would offer the starting shooting guard spot to DeAnthony Melton. I think he's that good. I think he would be a great pairing with Jamal Murray. Not necessarily a big wing defender, but he could be your primary guard defender, and that would be tremendous. Chris Dunn would be your traditional backup point guard, a good complementary piece to Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray's your more offensive playmaker. Chris Dunn's your defensive playmaker. Denver has a need for both. Swipe asks, chat, would you trade Ryan Blackburn to Alaska for 6 months if it meant Denver could re-sign Bruce Brown for the MLE and win a second title? Why do you ask questions that you know the answer to? The answer is clearly yes. They would obviously trade me. Now, would they trade me and also like have to say goodbye to all of my podcasting and writing? Yeah, they probably do that too, if I'm being honest. They would probably do that. Goga Batazi of Orlando is another taxpayer mid-level exception candidate. He's a player that Denver probably can't get for the minimum. He is probably the best center option out there that is worth an exception. There aren't that many like non-taxpayer MLE kind of centers. Nick Claxton is going to make $20+ million in the open market this year. And there aren't many other guys beyond that. But I do think that Batazi, who played like 15 minutes per game this last year, he was the token starter for half the year in Orlando. Really good defender. Big body, drop coverage defender, somebody that could help do a bunch of different things. Curiously enough, he ranked in the top 10 in block shots per 100 possessions. He did just play 15 minutes, but the Nuggets only need him to play 15 minutes in his particular role. So it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, in my opinion, to put him next to Peyton Watson and say, yeah, you guys are going to make life living hell for whoever is trying to attack the paint on the second unit. That would be a pretty big deal. And then the last one, Kelly Oubre and Nicholas Batum, two names that I would watch. Philly's up to something with their cap space, trying to come up with, like, whether it's Paul George. I've heard OG Anunoby is the name that they're trying to target now. But even if it's KCP, even if it's, somebody else who makes a lot of money, it's possible that they let some guys fall through the cracks, like a Kelly Oubre, like a Nicholas Batum. I expect them to sign maybe both of those, but maybe one of those guys. If you could find an opportunity to sign the other to your taxpayer mid-level, that would be a great use of money. Oubre's the scorer off the bench that Denver could need, or he could also start in place of KCP and do a lot of the same stuff. And then Nicholas Batum would be a fantastic fit in Denver's rotation and style. He would be so helpful. I would love seeing Nicholas Batum in a Nuggets uniform. He'd be so good. I don't even know if he would move to Denver. He's probably retiring if he's not playing in Philly. But if there's a possibility to get him, Denver should try. Okay, let's take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about other trade targets that Denver could add, but even if they re-sign KCP, as well as minimum contract players. This is going to be the bulk of Denver's spending power, and you're probably going to see some of these names in a Nuggets uniform next year. We will be right back on Pickaxe and Roll.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
At it, final segment, Pickaxe and Roll. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. I nearly spilled my entire water cup on my PS5 over here. That would have been horrible. By the way, if you want to sponsor a podcast, would love to talk to you. Love to talk to you about being said sponsor for this podcast. That would be pretty cool. Okay, final segment. Let's chat about minimums. But before we talk about minimum salaries, I want to share some trade targets smaller than $9 million. Four names come to mind for this. The first is Ayo Dosunmu of the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls just traded for Josh Giddey. They traded Alex Caruso for Josh Giddey straight up. It was a stupid deal. I don't know why they did it. I can look through a fund mirror and you can squint and kind of see Josh Giddey being a helpful piece of Chicago's future, but they are still at the early stages of trying to figure out an actual rebuild strategy. They haven't even fully committed to a rebuild yet. Are they going to? Is that on the table? If so, can we have Ayo Dosunmu? Can the rest of the NBA have what is a very, very good player? I consider him to be the platonic ideal for Bruce Brown, the new Bruce Brown, if you will, somebody who's making way less than they probably should be, would fit really well next to Jokic, next to Murray, in place of Murray, in place of Michael Porter, guys like that. Ayo would be so, so good. And if Chicago is willing to do deals like Josh Giddey for Alex Caruso straight up, then they might be willing to do Zeke Nagy plus a couple second-round picks for Ayo Dosunmu. Who knows? He's also a player that Denver could get if they retain KCP. Because all of these guys, Ayo Dosunmu, Javon Carter, his teammate on Chicago, Jae'Sean Tate of the Houston Rockets, and Vasa Micic of Charlotte. All of those guys make fewer dollars than Zeke Nagy's contract. So they could use him as their trade piece to try to get players that could play and could be pretty helpful for Denver. So I like Javon Carter probably less. I like him more than most people around here. I think he's a better playmaker than he's been able to show for a team like Chicago that had a lot of mouths to feed. I think Jayshon Tate is a player that's long been coveted by a team like the Nuggets. He's a very versatile defender, would be tough, physical. He also had his role really cut down to size by being in Houston, and they also have a couple guys behind him in the pecking order that are younger that need to be playing. And then Micic is somebody tell me. Obviously Serbian, somebody who came over to the States last year, would definitely be a backup point guard candidate. Could also be somebody that fills in for Reggie Jackson if Reggie Jackson gets traded. So that's an option there if Denver had to go that direction. And finally, minimum contract signings. These are the players that I think you're most likely to see in a Nuggets uniform going forward. Because no matter what they do, whether they retain KCP, whether they allow him to walk, they're going to have an open roster spot or two. They're going to have plenty of options to be able to fill in their team. And I'm learning from the chat that it's Micic. Hopefully that was good enough. Micic. Perfect. I think that the top minimum contract signings outside of ones that are on their own team are Andre Drummond, Daniel Theis, and Dario Saric. Three veteran centers that impact the game in a variety of different ways. Drummond's an elite rebounder. He's a big body in the middle of the floor. Somebody that could be like he's good with his hands on defense. He gets a lot of steals. He can pass a little bit, not necessarily in a great position to showcase that skill in Chicago. He'd be better in Denver, I think. I think he'd be better in Denver. Daniel Theis, I would call him a C-plus in every category. A C to a C-plus, except in size. Like, he's an undersized center, to be clear, but he can switch, he can guard, he can shoot, he can pass, he can rebound, he can do a bunch of different things, just not really well, but he would be helpful. And he'd probably elevate the skills in Denver. Saric is a better scorer and a better passer. And he's somebody that probably isn't going to be retained in Golden State as they try to get their team to be a little bit cheaper. Saric is somebody who I think Denver could snag because he could get an actually defined role and wouldn't have to compete with Kevon Looney, Draymond Green, and Trayce Jackson-Davis for playing time. Saric, I think, would be a good backup center to reprise what Jokic does. A couple other guys that Denver have on their team that they could bring back, Justin Holiday and Vlatko Chanchar. I expect Vlatko to be back. It sounds like there's mutual interest there. There is a possibility that they run out of roster spots, that they decide, hey, we need some other guys, some other positions. We believe that Peyton Watson's going to play the backup four again. If that's the case, might not be the right person to bring back, but I think the Vlatko will be back. Justin Holiday, for as good as he was this last year, and I give him a bunch of credit for what he did, his position is probably the easiest to fill in the NBA. And the Nuggets have ready-made solutions on their roster. Let's say they do bring back KCP. Then why wouldn't you just play Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, and Julian Strother on the wings and continue to develop those guys because you have them in your system going forward? With Holiday, you just don't know. So that's something that I think Malone will be amenable to. Strother is in his second year as opposed to his first. That's something that he would do. And he was already playing Christian Brown and Peyton Watson in the regular season over somebody like Holiday. They would be good. Some guards that Denver could target. I mentioned Chris Dunn in the taxpayer MLE discussion. Let's say he was up for a minimum. Denver could still try to target him. I don't think he's going to be available for the minimum. There was a report today that Phoenix was trying to get him for the minimum. Sick. Cool. Like, I don't think that's a better situation than Denver, personally. Like, Phoenix doesn't have anything. DeLon Wright, another minimum candidate who I think would fit in really well in Denver's system. Somebody that, obviously, Swipe has been very, very happy with, trying to get him into Denver for several years. He makes a lot of sense as a defender, as a switchable player, as a versatile offensive player, somebody who could handle the ball, but also can be off ball. I thought he handled his minutes in the playoffs pretty well against Boston. He would be a fit. He'd be somebody that Denver could use. Who might not be a fit are the two names that I'm going to bring up next. Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul. A couple weekends ago, I brought up those guys as backup point guard candidates. I think that there is a possibility that because Reggie Jackson is a tradable salary, he's an expiring contract for this upcoming season, I put it as less likely than likely that he's back with the Nuggets, so they're going to have to fill that backup point guard spot in some way, shape, or form. Now, they could go with the DeLon Wright route, or they could go with Chris Dunn. Maybe they get somebody else, like a Micic. But you want somebody that can handle pressure? You want somebody that can handle a lot of playmaking responsibility, facilitation, get downhill? That's Russell Westbrook. Like, he can get downhill a little bit. He can run pick and roll. He's been doing it for plenty of years. Chris Paul, he was one of the lone bright spots for the Golden State Warriors in this last year. Their starters were bad. Bad. The reason why they were winning games was because of their bench. It's because Chris Paul was elevating that unit along with Brandon Podziemski, Saric, who was, I already mentioned, and Trayce Jackson-Davis. Like, those guys were good. It was the starters that were weak. So, I think that adding one of those guys would not be crazy. It's not that wild. It may not be the best idea, but if you think that somebody like Jalen Pickett is still in your future plans, but he's not quite ready to be the backup point guard yet, you leave him as the third string, and then you get a short-term stopgap point guard who can get out of his way in a year or two. That would be somebody like a Russell Westbrook or Chris Paul. It would make sense. Now, maybe Chris Dunn and Javon Carter and Ayo Dosunmu and Micic and guys like that would be just fine. But I also think that there is something to be said for a Russell Westbrook or a Chris Paul, because what Denver needs with their second unit is somebody to hold on to the playmaking responsibility. They don't have somebody who could do that. So I think that there is merit to it, for sure. And two final names. Gordon Hayward and Jay Crowder. Veteran options. One's a little bit more of a playmaker scorer in Hayward than somebody like a Crowder, who's more of a spot-up guy, a 3-and-D option, tough rebounder, gritty. Those are two options that Denver could add to the end of their bench to play a similar role that Justin Holiday did. Maybe they're not every night guys, but they would play in a playoff situation because they've got veteran experience. Wouldn't be the worst idea in the world. Could they replace Jeff Green in a playoff rotation? Maybe. It wouldn't be that crazy. I think that Denver should be continuing to try to commit to Peyton Watson and play him as much as possible. So I'm not as wild about those kinds of options. But Peyton Watson played zero important playoff minutes in the second round of the playoffs. They need somebody in that front court that can. So if it isn't a backup center, then maybe it's a versatile forward. And that could be Hayward. That could be Crowder. Wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. Okay. Seen a lot of different reaction on my Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul stuff. I've seen a lot of different reaction on Micic. Saric is a good player, and he's friends with Jokic and their wives hang out. Like I said, he would fit in. He would definitely fit into what the Nuggets are doing. Who else? Jokic will be a Nugget for life, I expect. I don't think he's going anywhere either. I don't think anybody that's seriously wondering whether Jokic is going to be on another team, he's not going to be on another team. He signed a Supermax contract with Denver. The Nuggets are going to continue to try to build the best possible team, but we can debate on what that team is. And that's the thing, is there are a variety of different ways that Denver can approach this. Like I said at the beginning, I do not think that KCP will be back. But if he is back, if Denver does retain him, it makes things a lot simpler. They're going to have the 28th pick in the draft. They're going to have minimum contracts. All you have to do, maybe you make a small trade. Like I said, Zeke for Micic or somebody of that nature, Jayshon Tate. Maybe you do Reggie for somebody, and that's a better option for you. But the offseason becomes a lot simpler if they can retain KCP. I just don't think that they're going to. I think that they are willing to take a chance on their young guys. And honestly, I don't know if it's the worst idea in the world, because in order to actually facilitate real growth for those guys, you need to put them in uncomfortable positions and force them to grow. Christian Brown, I made this comparison to somebody offline. You remember when Dante DiVincenzo became the Milwaukee Bucks starting shooting guard next to Drew Holiday, in between Chris Middleton, Giannis, guys like that? He was great. He was very, very helpful. And then he got hurt, and then they traded him, and then he wound up in New York in his fifth or sixth season and became a very valuable player. Christian Brown's kind of like that to me, where he's somebody who people are going to have hesitations about starting him, but it might be the right time. And if he can give you 85% of what KCP gave you, and you can also improve your bench in the process, make your team a little bit more balanced, I don't know if it's the worst idea in the world. It might be. I'm willing to be wrong about that. But I do think that there is something to be said for it. Everybody, that is going to do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Number 38 and Bet Online. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button on the way out. Depending on what happens tomorrow, if there's some news that pops up, I will certainly podcast tomorrow night. Swipe and I have got some content that's coming out over the next few days, so make sure to take a look for that. The draft is on Wednesday and Thursday, and free agency starts on Sunday. That's when all the scuttlebutt's going to come out, and you're going to have the big old rush of transactions. It's going to be crazy. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. We'll talk to you guys very soon.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.